This is Bucky Bacall with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. In previous shows, I've discussed how no critter can compare in terms of waste to compost conversion rates to chickens. Exact numbers are difficult to come by because several processes are at work that will vary according to inputs and conditions. But the nitrogen-rich manure of chickens is a powerful compost accelerator used by the microorganisms that break down food scraps, garden, and yard clippings, and whatever other organic stuff ends up in your compost pile. Chickens themselves can also act as compost pile managers, as they continually scratch and dig through compost piles searching for seeds, sprouts, bugs, and edible scraps, which breaks everything into smaller pieces, while also continually churning the surface, which keeps the pile aerated for all those composting microorganisms which require oxygen. Not incidentally, this also keeps the pile from gathering offensive anaerobic odors. Just one more reason why the fear that chicken coops will be smelly is completely unfounded. Many chicken historians suggest that a main reason farmers and gardeners have traditionally kept chickens around was for their role in creating fertile soil to grow more vegetables, at least as much as, and maybe even more so, than for egg and meat production. Keep in mind, it's only been in the last 100 years or so that chickens have been bred to lay so many eggs year-round and grow so quickly to roasting size. The old-school barnyard fowl were closer to wild birds, who only lay a few eggs a season and tend not to carry a lot of weight around in meat and fat. From my own experience, I can say it's impressive how just a few hens can supercharge a garden. They only work the soil a little at a time, but they do this work constantly and with vigor, proving that a lot of little actions can add up to surprisingly big results. My guesstimate is that my food and garden waste was processed into soil containing the elements to grow big, nutritious, delicious vegetables in half the time it took before I started to keep hens. Even in my current experiment in indoor chickening, the vegetable waste and compost mix generated by three miniature hens, which we add to a 120-square-foot butterfly garden we manage in Astoria Park, has radically improved that soil, as many admirers can attest to. Chickens do have some competition from several species of composting worms that are used in vermicomposting bins. Under the right conditions, composting worms can process half their weight in food every day. Like chickens, they are working side by side with composting microorganisms, as well as eating those co-workers. And they are also responsible for accelerating the process, reducing odors by aerating the pile, and for breaking down scraps into smaller bits. And even though a worm is much smaller than a chicken, they work even more hours per day than chickens, and reproduce so prodigiously that as a total workforce, they do rival chickens. Many medium-sized farmers interested in sustainable processes have outdoor worm bins, which can house thousands of worms and process a lot of waste, including the manure of large livestock and humans. But another advantage of composting worms is they can be kept inside a city apartment, and without taking up much space at all, convert the food waste of the average urbanite into usable potting soil in surprisingly little time, and with no mess or odor. When I had to make the tough choice to leave my small Boise, Idaho flock with a good friend and fellow agriculturalist and move myself to New York City for work, one of the first things I did was start worming as part of my urban agriculture without private yard strategy. Many of my friends and associates also vermicompost, and a few have an enthusiasm for their worms that rivals my mania for chickens. I have to admit, it's pretty awesome peeking into my worm bin and seeing hundreds of cute little worms busy at work breaking down my beet green stems, stale breadcrumbs, and tea leaves into potting soil, and doing it without stinking up the house. And I have to admit, feeling quite a bit of pride when I catch a pair of worms mating and see how many eggs the randy little critters have left behind. Of course, worm eggs aren't even remotely edible, as compared to the super delicious and nutritious chicken eggs I'm used to finding most days. And the worms quickly bury themselves deeper in the bin away from the light in my invasive hands, rather than running towards me with adorable little chicken feet while clucking a greeting. Furthermore, they don't build compost much faster than chickens, and the soil they produce has not been as productive a vegetable-growing medium as the chicken poop-enhanced soil I work with for many years. Finally, I'm not the only one of my wormy friends who have suffered from failed worm bins, including smelly hive collapses in the summer heat, massive fruit fly infestations, and general loss of interest. Overall, I have to say my chickening friends have been much more successful and happier than my wormy friends. However, what I have become very excited about is the enormous potential for the urban agriculturalist who husbands chickens and vermicomposting worms. One thing I've learned about a clue, knot, hive, or squirm of worms, whatever you call them, is that it's impossible to sustain all the worms born under your care. Quite a few of my urban worm-working friends didn't believe me at first, because these worm populations are managed almost invisibly. It's virtually impossible to find a dead worm in a functioning worm bin, because a worm corpse is decomposed and eaten pretty much instantly upon its death. What's really going on is that starting with 8 worms, a healthy bin can produce 1,500 offspring within 6 months. Now imagine, or do the math, on how many those 1,500 could then produce in the next 6 months. But an indoor bin can only sustain a finite amount of worms with the food created by one person, couple, or small family, and given the size of the bin. A few hundred to 1,500 is just about all the worms one person can handle. The hidden reality is that even in the healthiest of bins, many, many worms are dying every day because they're not strong or lucky enough to find food. Which makes one wonder, what could you do with all that unrealized population? One answer, as you've probably already guessed, is feed your chickens. During peak garden production, I often found that my hens usually can't quite finish the chicken scraps I offer them for feed. Worm-working chickeners, on the other hand, could feed the chickens a little less or collect the leftovers and feed those to the worms. In turn, when your garden is less productive, or just as a treat, you could then harvest your sustainable protein crop of worms. In my case, I fed our indoor chickens worms all last winter and throughout the year to the clear health benefit and egg productivity of the flock. This year, we took a hiatus from worming, from frustration over never fully conquering the fruit fly population that coexisted with our bin. And it's been much more challenging these days to meet the flock's protein needs. We purchased, in a slight betrayal of my self-sustaining minimal external input ideals, several boxes of freeze-dried mealworms. But they appear to be less nutritious, and the chickens have finally grown weary of them. They never tired of real worms. When we move this year, I'm going to give worms another try in our new setting, because it's such an ideal interaction. When harvesting vermicomposted soil, most wormers feel compelled to painstakingly remove all worms from the soil they intend to put in the garden. The truth is, most of those worms would die competing for food anyway. But wormers just can't bear to put them out in the winter soil or in a potted plant, where they'll surely die. However, there's no need to grieve when spreading that compost over the garden and letting the hens have a treat with the leftover worms. The vermicomposter's motto is harvest it all, let the hens sort them out. Furthermore, the vermicomposting chickener can get the most productivity out of their bin by harvesting a little early when there are still small pieces of food in the soil. It's close enough to spread on the garden in the winter, where it will gradually get worked in by hens pecking at worms, and maybe even eating the occasional sprout. I'd be getting myself off mission by teaching my listeners how to get started as worm workers, but there are many resources available. Many fine websites can be found by doing an internet search on vermicomposting, or red wiggler worms. And also, many municipalities run programs aimed at reducing landfill by encouraging citizens to vermicompost, such as New York City's compost program run through its network of botanical gardens. You can contact your city or your local public garden for programs in your area. I sure hope some of my chickening listeners, who haven't already incorporated worm cultivation into their personal system, give it a try. If you're already doing it, maybe you'll send me an email at bucky@buckybacaw.org. Indeed, you can email me about any chicken comment or question, and you may wind up on the show, especially if you send me a digital audio file of you reading your message. Come on, I know you've been meaning to do it for some time, so do it now, during the winter, when it's much more difficult for me to travel around doing coop profiles. Love to hear from you. This is Bucky Bacaw. I had a good time. Bucky Bacaw's Backyard Chicken Broadcast was produced by the Sagebrush Variety Show with support from Boise Community Radio and the Green Institute.